Folks in production agriculture face many challenges year in and year out. Weather, markets, and policy are just a fraction of them, but those three topics tend to drive conversation in farm country. The irony, of course, is that farmers have very little or absolutely no control over these issues. This podcast is going to be different. The focus here is on what farmers can control: planting decisions, agronomic choices, and which partnerships can build the highest return on investment for their farms. On this first episode, two experts in their field will help break down the big picture in agriculture. Dr. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Extension Economist, will bring the domestic policy and international trade issues into focus, and Dan Freeberg, founder of Premier Crop Systems, will explain what Premier Crop is and how they help growers maximize returns in challenging environments. To begin, Dr. Hart will give us an update on the current markets for row crop producers.
Well, the ag industry, I mean, let's face it, we've been struggling for the past few years. We've seen fairly low commodity prices almost across the board and a high degree of productivity. In a certain sense, if you will, we're too efficient, we're too productive for our own darn good. And what that means is we tend to have a lot of crop and a lot of livestock products to sell, and we're selling them at very low prices. You know, as you look across the, you can think about the soybean industry facing a similar fate right now, especially with the trade dispute with China. You know, corn and wheat a little bit above that, cattle in that same range. The industry that's sort of doing the best right now and has been a very recent pickup has been the hog industry. As we've watched, China have to jump into the global market given the outbreak of African swine fever.
So the headline in 2019 is challenges, lower prices, and stubbornly high input costs across the board. Dr. Hart has worked with growers of all sizes across the Corn Belt, and a key question is, what are the most successful operators doing to survive tough times?
As we're looking at those grain operations, one of the biggest things we've been watching them is, they've watched their prices really come down to compress them, and where they've been hitting at or below break-even on that cost structure now for the past 4 years. And that has basically squeezed them down to where we've seen a lot of folks over the past few years slow down on basically replacing the machinery, pull back a bit on what they're spending in terms of their seed, their productivity elements out there, looking to cut back on chemicals and fertilizer. And so they're trying to manage to, how do I reduce cost while at the same time maintain those yield aspects out there? And relying upon this idea of that, you know, when you look back 5-10 years ago, what we had was a very strong demand market out there. That has since backed off. And so farmers are adjusting a new, slower reality in terms of that demand growth, especially as we look at it coming from the global markets.
Agriculture, of course, is cyclical. This is not the first time the industry has encountered a glut of supply amidst a steady or struggling demand. One only needs to look back 20 years to 1999 to find a very similar situation. Back then, some other factors were beginning to shape the industry as well. New data measurement tools, faster computing power, and more technology on the farm were opening up some new opportunities. One of the people at the forefront of this revolution was Dan Freeberg, and in 1999, he married those tools to production agriculture with the founding of Premier Crop Systems.
The idea was that growers are getting more sophisticated. In order for you to keep up with the very best growers, you needed to deliver a higher level of agronomic expertise. And in order to do that, you needed to actually charge for the advice. And at the time, a lot of those companies were starting to get yield files. So Ag Leader was, ramping up their yield monitors, and other companies were right there too. So all of a sudden they were getting a geo-reference yield file, which allowed, the vision was that all of a sudden we're able to measure yield or productivity within the field. They were also starting to soil sample using GPS, and variable rate nutrient equipment was hitting the market. So it was obvious to a group that there was, in the same time we were talking about charging for services, that there were all of a sudden all these data sources, but nobody knew what to do with the data. And that's really how Premier Crop got started, was just this idea of we knew we could see the vision that we're going to have geo-reference data, going to be able to measure productivity, going to be able to measure whether what we did agronomically mattered, whether we were doing the right thing. But we needed a way to do that, and that's really how Premier Crop got started, just a group of people who had a vision for using data to farm better.
In the 20 years since that marriage of ideas and technology, Premier Crop has continued to grow across the Corn Belt and Great Plains, and today works with operations of all shapes and sizes to maximize their productivity by combining 400 layers of data and allowing growers to see trends or changes that might not be visible to the naked eye. Looking forward, especially in a year of tight margins, how should producers plan for 2019 and beyond?
But in 2019, we're talking a lot about everything agronomic is economic. So we believe that, you know, we're in a down cycle, and growers, there's a lot of growers who are treading water profitability-wise, and we get that. And now more than ever, we believe the key is to track the economics with everything agronomic. In other words, within our system, if we're encouraging a grower to variable rate seed, we're able to track the difference in seeding cost within the field. You know, so as we increase populations in the best part of the field, you know, we're tracking the exact cost as that planter goes through the field of the seeds it's dropping. And we're doing the same thing with lime and nutrients and everything. So, you know, crop protection and land rent and operations, everything we're doing is tied economically. So we're able to serve up results to growers that is their break-even cost per bushel. And we're able to do it spatially within the field boundary. So we think the time is right for that. We actually believe it's the most important key for growers and for us as a company, being willing to measure our success by the grower's success. You know, a lot of people talk about this, but, you know, doing it is really hard work, and there's a lot of detail to capture to make it work.
400 layers of data combining economics and agronomics tied spatially to specific fields is a pile of information. What does it look like in practice? How are these plans actually implemented on the ground?
One of the things we do started in 2005 with just putting check blocks inside variable rate prescriptions. We trademarked it as learning blocks. So a learning block is just a 1 acre, 2 acre check block. So the reason we started doing it is if we're telling a grower we think that they should increase their seeding rate in part of the field, we wanted to be able to know at the end of the day, at the end of the season, was that right? And so learning blocks just let you put a higher or lower check block. You know, the equipment executes the trial. So it's basically introducing an experiment into a part of a field. And the growers love it because they don't have to do anything. They don't have to slow down. They just, you know, they plant the field as normal, or they fertilize it as normal, and the technology does all the work. It changes the rate. And then we compare, you know, the yield when the yield file hits to the area inside the learning block to the immediate area right around it. And so learning blocks have been a huge part of the success story, because it's allowed growers to manage the risk associated with making changes. So they might not want to plant 38,000 in the best part of the field on the whole. You know, that might be too high for them, but would they risk an acre of 38,000? They would in a heartbeat, because they want to know. They want to know what 38,000 looks like. They want to know if they're leaving something on the table.
Not only do some habits need to change to learn new things, but farmers need to change their mindsets as well. How can producers think about their operations differently, and especially in times of tight margins?
It's not all the same. They're, you know, across their farming operation, it's not all the same. It's not all uniform. They end up with dramatically different results within fields and between fields. They know it's not all the same. Sometimes you can almost have the conversation based on how long they've been farming the farm. You know, it's like the ground they own, I'll guarantee you, is that it's managed different sometimes than the ground they rent. And the ground they have long-term rent on versus the ground that was short-term cash, you know, high cash rent. So within most growers' operations, you can almost go back to that, and they'll start to talk about the differences. And then you'll be able to relate that to the differences in yield. But then you turn around, and a lot of times they're treating it all the same. They're putting exact same nitrogen rate on every acre, same fertility on every acre. And but, you know, so the so it's really just like, okay, you know it's not yielding the same, so let's stop treating it all as though it's the same.
One major challenge, though, is that farms continue to grow larger. There's that trade-off between time spent making changes to account for variability in the fields versus just getting out and running, especially when planting windows continue to shrink. How does PCS work with growers to make these management changes make sense in practice?
They get apprehensive about, one of their apprehensions is who's going to support the technology piece of it. If I have an issue with the monitor, who's going to support that? So being able to walk in and talk to them about making it a turnkey solution and being there, you know, being able to support them, make sure the files are loaded right, and you know, teach them how to use it, and just that extra sometimes hand holding. Is a big deal. So it's like, you know, it's like, think about the human diet. You know, it's like if 2,000 calories is their average, what does a professional athlete or an Olympic swimmer consume? It's more like 6,000 or 8,000. So those best parts of their field, they're like that elite athlete that's burning calories like crazy. So doesn't it make sense to like maybe up the dose there and maybe cut back on the areas that are nutrient fat? And so, I mean, it's just conversation flows pretty fast. A lot of it's just having conversation with them and asking them a lot of questions about what they're doing now. And I mean, most of them know, you know, most of them know that it's not all the same. And so when you ask, why are you treating it all the same? You kind of open the door to the next conversation.
When the conversation turns to data collection and interpretation, some growers tune out. It seems that every farm has that file cabinet or hard drive full of data collected over previous years that sits unused because it's oftentimes a nightmare to import into the current software, or just because most growers didn't go into production agriculture to sit at a computer and do data analysis. What is the process like when getting on board with Premier Crop Systems? How much time is needed to dig up and enter data?
So we do a lot. We do the grunt work. So it's like we do the data work. So it's like wherever you are, whatever monitor, whatever, we'll do the data work. So, I mean, part of it is just the data is all over the place. Some of the, you know, like their fertility data might be at the local co-op and their planting data might be in the cloud solution. And so the data is kind of scattered. Some of it's in desktop software. Some of it's in the operation center. It's just, it's everywhere. So just getting, you know, wherever your data is, it's just, that's the first step. But on an ongoing basis, it's really about being engaged in the decision making. You know, so it's not a system that's not doesn't involve the grower. It's just about doing the data work so they don't have to, because most of them, that's not what they want to do. They have other things that are more important, use of their time. And so doing the data work, getting it all organized, and then making it actionable. But then also just so for their perspective, it's, you know, ultimately, it's their decision, you know. It's like, so, and when I talked about growers managing risk, it's like that's the reason it's important that they're involved, is this, you know, how they use data, how we do things is, you know, there's a risk component to it. How aggressive do you want to be? How conservative? So, you know, if you're conservative, throw learning blocks in, because it's 1 or 2 acres to find out. So, but then the other piece is, from a grower's perspective, is it's helping them collect good data. It goes back to your garbage in, garbage out question early. It's just they have an ongoing role in helping us to get the data.
When a grower is thinking of making this kind of investment in time, money, and knowledge, it helps to know there is a payback coming in the future. And in agriculture, of course, the payback comes through changes in supply and demand. To get a sense of these factors in the future, Dr. Chad Hart will help put them into perspective. Looking ahead 5, 10, 15 years down the line, what are some of the opportunities, and will any of them be comparable to the growth of the ethanol industry in the mid-2000s?
Well, arguably not as big as ethanol was in the 2000s. I mean, that is sort of a, if you will, a once-in-a-generation event where we tend to see just, you know, a new market just pop almost out of nowhere to pull as we're looking out there. But looking down the line, we do continue to see growth from global markets, not only due to population growth, but more importantly, income growth as we look at the developing world. One of the things both corn and soybeans have been relying upon in the past few years is picking up some additional business from some unknown corners of the world. For example, when you look at the corn market right now, a couple of the hottest markets that we've had over the past 2-3 years have been Colombia and Peru. Not big in terms of overall population, but the idea is we have seen them sort of ratchet up the chain, if you will, as they've worked within a free trade agreement that both of those countries signed with the U.S., and that has meant a growing market beyond what one would expect just looking at the demographics of the two countries. And I think you'll see that continue as we look out over the next 5 to 10 years. Where do we see trade relationships improve? Where do we see tariffs and trade barriers get lowered? That's where you'll tend to see U.S. agricultural products flow to.
It's good to hear about some pending opportunities on the market side, but what are the exciting changes coming on the agronomic / technologic side? What gets Dan Freeberg up in the morning?
It's one of the things we're really excited about is just being able to prove how it works in growers' fields. So new products, different rates, anything like that. We have a trial platform that just in an easy way allows them to prove the effectiveness of products in their field. So, you know, one of our internal sayings is everything works somewhere, nothing works everywhere. You know, so it's just, so there's a lot of great products out there. There's like I say, bombarded with new product offerings and biologicals and seed treatments. And I mean, there's new products all the time. And from a grower's perspective, it's just like, okay, I want to know whether it works in my field. So I need a way to prove it works in my field. So that prove it in my fields is a big, you know, big thing that we talk a lot about. Just, yeah, we can do that. We can prove it whether or not it works in your fields.
We are going to have a great discussion next episode with several growers who have worked with Premier Crop Systems in the past and have used them to bring new insights to their operations. So stay tuned. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. This podcast will continue to explore the interchange of agronomics and economics with the help of Premier Crop Systems.